Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our reading today is just a portion from the story of Samson in the Old Testament. And just some background here. We're going back to the frontier days of Israel, the wild and woolly West. And it's a time of great tribal migrations that are taking place. Israel, as you remember, is coming up into what is now Israel from the south. They're coming up from Egypt and the Sinai Peninsula. At the same time, the Philistines, who are Greek, are coming in from the Greek islands, from the side. And the Philistines, being Greeks, are highly organized, very technologically advanced. They know how to make iron. The Israelites do not know how to make iron. If they need utensils for farming, if they need a weapon or something, they have to go to the Philistines to have them made. So the Philistines are very advanced compared to the Israelites, who are totally disorganized. They may be more advanced religiously, but otherwise they're very much behind the times, and as a result they're very much under the thumb of the Philistines. This is the time of Judges, and you'll notice that our reading comes from the book of Judges. These are not judges as we think of them. They are charismatic leaders who arise to lead Israel in times of need. Okay, Israel has no standing army, no real central government or anything, totally disorganized. These are people who rise up to lead in times of emergency. And supposedly Samson is one of these. Here's the reading. It's just one portion of that famous scene of Samson and Delilah. It's not the key one that we'll be coming to. After this, Samson fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sordek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, coax him, and find out what makes his strength so great, and how we may have power over him, so that we may bind him and subdue him. And we will give you, each one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. This is like $11 million, big money. Okay. And Delilah said to Samson, please tell me what makes your strength so great and how you could be bound so that one could subdue you. And he said to her, he's playing a game now, stupidly. Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that are not dried out, I shall become weak and be like everyone else. The lords of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not dried out, and she bound Samson with them. And while men were lying in wait in an inner chamber, Delilah said to Samson, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he snapped the bowstrings as a strand of fiber snaps when it touches the fire. That's a great line. As a strand of fiber snaps when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, I'd like you just to remember back a little bit. Do you remember when Jay Leno did The Tonight Show? And on occasion, he would go out on the street and interview people on the street. And on one occasion, he came across a group of college students, both guys and girls. And he asked them questions about the Bible. And he asked, can you give me one of the Ten Commandments? And one of the girls answered, freedom of speech. And then he asked, can you complete this sentence? Let him who is without sin, and again one of the students answered, have a good time. And then last of all, he asked one of the kids who'd been sort of rolling his eyes at the answers of the other ones, and said, now, can you tell me who in the Bible, who according to the Bible, is swallowed by a whale? And the kid who'd been rolling his eyes and sort of mocking the others said, oh, I know that. Pinocchio. Now, I suspect our Jewish young people, our Jewish friends and their young people, would not have such problems with literacy, at least many of them today, even today. Many of them are brought up in this heritage of the Hebrew Bible and its stories. And what I'd like to do over the next couple of weeks in this late summer period, to look at that heritage and what it's saying to our own lives. You know, we have the Hall of Fame for basketball players up in Springfield. The Baseball Players Hall of Fame is in Cooperstown. The Football Hall of Fame is in up in Maine. And I'd like to look a little bit over the next few weeks at the Old Testament Hall of Fame. And today we look at the figure of Samson. It's an amazing story, really, when you think about it. It's in the book of Judges, it's just four chapters, some 90 verses. And yet how it has inspired people down through the ages. You have painters like Rubens, and Rembrandt. You have musicians like Handel, poets like Milton. Even Hollywood has gotten into the game. Cecil B. DeMille has given us the story of Samson. And even, you know, in this day of modern superheroes, you can see the influence of Samson. It's interesting that the people who gave us Superman lived in Cleveland, Jewish background, and they say quite directly that Superman was inspired by the story of Samson. And I've heard many a rabbi say that a lot of our superheroes, Batman, Daredevil, all these people, they come from Jewish authors, and it's no miracle. These people were raised in the Hebrew Bible stories. And of course, today, the superhero has to have flaws. And we'll find out that Samson has his share of flaws as well. What was Samson like? If you can use your imagination, think Tarzan, think Dwayne Johnson or Jason Statham from the Fast and Furious film series. Think of the guy who plays Paul Dark on public television, only give him longer hair than he already has. This man, Samson, is the Jewish Hercules. He's a guy who can wrestle a lion, he can take on an army single-handed, and he can bring down a building on himself and everyone else. Now, why should we be concerned about Samson? What's he got to do with us? I think most of us, all of us, have been given talents by God, no matter who we are. We might not end up as a finalist on America's Got Talent, but all of us have skills and abilities and talents that God has given us. And the choice we have to make at different times in life is how we use those talents, what we do with them, how we apply them. And I think the story of Samson is a cautionary tale. It's a warning to us to stay the course, to stay on the path, and not be diverted into all kinds of things. Samson is a person who's born to greatness. He's born for leadership. He's born to deliver the people of Israel from that thumb of the Philistines, these Greeks. But he's a person who has wit. He has a lot going for him. He's got this tremendous strength. But somehow he never really uses this strength to help anybody. He has this gift, but he never uses it for any productive purpose. And on one occasion, we see him, he's coming out of a brothel in a Philistine city, and the Philistines are there waiting for him. They're waiting to capture him. And he gets so ticked off, so angry, that he goes and he takes the gate of that Philistine city and rips it off its hinges and carries it 40 miles. If you can imagine, he carries this huge gate 40 miles to the city of Hebron. You know, wow, what a guy. You know? What theater? 40 miles carrying a city gate. Yet to what purpose? This guy is an idiot. I mean, nothing is served by this tremendous effort of strength. Somehow he wasn't around, he missed. Well, let's put it this way. There were some French fries missing in his happy meal, okay. He wasn't quite there yet. You know, it's often been said that it's okay to give ourselves away, but we don't want to throw ourselves away. It may be okay to give our talents and gifts in the service of some higher purpose, but we don't want to just misuse them and throw them away. This is something that Samson just didn't hear. And I remember that there's an old saying that with great power comes responsibility. That's from an old Spider-Man movie, believe it or not. With great power comes great responsibility. If Samson had heard that when he was younger, he might have been different. But he didn't hear it. Now, we know people who have had talents or have developed talents. We have, again, talents ourselves. And I think of some writers, you know, Maya Angelou, John Cheever. They followed a discipline. They tried to stay on the path. They would set aside the morning just to hone their craft of writing and be true to their calling as authors. John Cheever was interesting according to this story. He would get up every morning, put on a suit, take the elevator down in his apartment building, He went to a storage room down in the basement, took off his suit, sat there in his boxers, and did his writing work. And then at noontime, he got up, put on his suit again, went upstairs and had lunch. You can think of, you know, who was the girl this past week who did such a marvelous thing in gymnastics? What was it, a triple something in a double somersault or whatever? That doesn't happen overnight. You need discipline. You need focus to bring that kind of talent to the forefront for others to enjoy. I think, too, of Bruce Springsteen. You know, many of us grew up with him along the way. He did not have an obvious talent immediately. He was born in poverty in New Jersey. The house he grew up in was falling apart. As a young person, he was called Blinky by his friends because he had this nervous tic in his eye. And as a teenager, he was sort of awkward, very shy, not anyone outstanding at all. But on the Ed Sullivan Show, at different times, he had seen the Beatles, and before that, he saw Elvis. And he realized at that point that he had a calling to be a guitarist. So he got a guitar, tried to teach himself how to play the guitar. And he was terrible. And then he formed a band, you know, sort of a high school band. And they thought they were pretty good, but they were actually pretty bad. But it was interesting now. As he was getting older, he was bad. But eventually he became better. He was playing with this sort of so-so band, you know, in bars and everything. But he never had a drink. There's a focus there. He was after becoming a guitarist, a lead guitarist, someone who was very good at that skill. And he looked. He studied. What do lead guitarists do? How do they handle themselves? And what goes into the craft of having a real good band? He studied. He stayed on course. He was bad. He was better. He was good. And people started to sit up and take notice. And one thing that he said afterwards struck me. And he said something like this to the effect that in the music world, a lot of people, including his heroes, mistook freedom and license. And they didn't realize the distinction that freedom was one thing, license was another. And he said those who made that mistake didn't come to a good end. And I think he was saying something in a slightly different way that we see in Samson. You know, he didn't know the difference between freedom and license either. He's just bouncing all over the place, no focus. Again, how do we handle our own talents at different ages in life? How do we apply them? You know, the Greek philosopher Plato once used this analogy. He said that we were like a chariot that's drawn by two horses. And one horse is the passionate side of us, the other side is the spiritual side. And the charioteer, the guy who's holding the reins and holding the horses, is reason. And the job of the charioteer is to hold those together so that the horses are in sync and the chariot can proceed. Unfortunately, in Samson's life, reason was never called upon. No one ever took the reins to get those two horses, the spiritual and the sort of the physical, in line with one another. And this comes out especially in the famous part of his story. And this is the story of Samson and Delilah. Samson was a charming guy in his own way, and he thought that he was a ladies' man, and especially a ladies' man for the Philistine ladies. He had an eye for the Philistine ladies. And he thought no woman could possibly resist his charms. And so he took up with this Philistine woman by the name of Delilah. And when the Philistine chieftains heard that he had taken an interest in one of their women, they went to Delilah and they said, we'll give you $13 million, lots of money. We'll give you $13 million if you can find out for us what's the secret of his strength and how we can take him captive. And so here our guy who's full of himself, Samson, comes in, and she asks him, you know, what's the secret of your strength? How can you be bound and captured? Now, any sensible person would have gone home to mother at this point, right? Any sensible person would have said, I'm out of here. But Samson thinks he can play with fire and not get burned. And he's wrong. And so he plays a number of different times. He says, oh, if I'm tied up with bowstrings that haven't been dried out, I'll lose all my power. And of course, this is what she does to him. And she says, then the Philistines are coming, watch out. And he jumps up, bursts those strings, as the scripture says, as if a string was hit with a candlelight. It just snapped. And he goes through this a number of times, again, almost self-destructively. And then finally, she comes to him in tears. And she says, Samson, if you really love me, if you really love me, you would tell me the secret of your strength. And of course, he just melts in his shoes at this point. And he says, well, my strength is in my hair, and if my hair is cut, I will lose my strength, and I can be taken captive. And it's interesting, I always thought that she's the one who cuts his hair, but she has a barber there already. And she lulls him to sleep. And while he is sleeping, the barber comes in and shaves his head. And then she shouts, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are here to get you. Watch out. And he jumps up, and all the strength has been strained from him. And he is taken captive. Taken captive by people who have much less strength than he has. Again, you know, give your life away if you want to, but don't throw it away. Don't misuse your talents. This man has now been captive. He's taken to the Philistine temple. Time has passed, and he's taken to the Philistine temple for the chieftains to make mockery, to make fun of him, to insult him. But in this time, his hair has started to grow back. And with tremendous strength now, he pushes against two pillars, two load-bearing pillars in the temple, and down the roof comes on everyone. You know, this man dies as he lived, just bringing down the roof on everyone. And I should say, as a sideline here, I had a yellow lab puppy, and he was named Samson for a reason. As a puppy, he had endless energy, was just into everything. And I thought for sure he'd bring the roof of the house down upon us all. Samson. The story is sort of a cautionary tale. God has given us all some gift, some talent, some ability, some skill, where we can really make a contribution to our church, our community. We have something that will make this world a better place in our own little, you know, neighborhood. And I think this story says, don't be a Samson. Don't be walking around carrying the gate of a Philistine city on your head for 40 miles. It doesn't make any sense. Use your talents productively. Use them for good. It's a good point, isn't it? Amen.